During this time, I've been speaking a lot about vijja, or knowing, awareness. But as I mentioned earlier on, vijja on its own is incomplete. Its partner is charana, or conduct. One of the attributes of the Buddha is vijja charana sampanno, one who is impeccable in conduct and understanding. Well, these two elements go together. There's the vijja, the awareness, thus gone, that transcendent quality of awakened wisdom. And then thus come. Charana is the quality of conduct, how that wisdom is interrelated to the world, to our actions, our speech. Are these two dimensions of our being? They are reflected here in the qualities of the Buddha, but we don't just idealize those qualities in someone else, but we recollect them, bring them to mind, develop them, because they're also qualities of our own being. That's how it works within us as well. Oh, in that spiritual dimension, that aspect of our own being is fully developed, then along with this clear, transcendent wisdom, those qualities of atamayata, subjectless, objectless awareness, clear, unobstructed wisdom, its partner is behavior that is wholesome, mindful, relevant to time and place. That's how that wisdom manifests. Vijja charana sampanno, perfect in knowledge and conduct. They work together. So the Buddha's transcendent wisdom didn't make him spaced out or disconnected with the material world, with his body, his health, the people around him. But rather, that transcendent wisdom also helped him to be fully in tune with every aspect of his own being and all the details of the people and the world around him. Vijja and charana, they go together, they work together. Thus come, as well as thus gone. So as this retreat time proceeds, we have another couple of days together. Two more whole days till we part company. This is a good time to be considering how the skills that we learn in the retreat environment translate into the world outside of Endor, outside of retreat. To explore how moment by moment, when we have a skillful attitude, when the mind is awake, attentive, unattached, unentangled, that manifests as a quality of careful attention, harmlessness, honesty, generosity, compassion, These wholesome qualities are the way that wisdom manifests in the world. Now that conduct, action and speech they're made systematic, they're formalized in their precepts, living according to the five precepts. But the structure, form of the rules, you know, do this, don't do that. It's important to see that the expression of the sila, the forms of behavior, are more an external description, written in words, to give form to what is the natural inclination of the pure heart. If we're truly awake and wise, mindful, it's impossible for us to tell a lie, to deceive others. It's impossible to take the life of another living being, to be harmful. Our actions won't go that way. If we're truly mindful, truly awake, attuned, then we can't take what is not given to us. The hand won't reach to steal, to take what is not freely offered. So the precepts are spelled out. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking the life of any living creature, to refrain from taking what is not given, to refrain from sexual misconduct, to refrain from lying, to refrain from consuming intoxicating drink and drugs which lead to carelessness. The precepts are spelled out in these ways, but if we look, if we explore, we see they're merely external expressions of the pure heart, the heart which loves the good. If we take refuge in Buddha, being awake, if this life is attuned to the way things are, refuge in Dhamma, then what arises is Sangha. The heart inclines towards the wholesome, chooses, loves the noble, the wholesome. Well, this is a dimension of our practice that we can explore. Usually we think of rules saying you should do this, you shouldn't do that. We feel they are imposed from outside. But it's more helpful to see that sila, virtue, is more describing the quality of your own heart rather than the list of rules. So on this retreat, we undertake the standards of not harming things, not killing flies or insects or harming other people, to not take each other's possessions, to not help yourself to things that belong to the people that you share your room with. If you like somebody's scarf or their hat, you don't just pick it up and hide it away and steal it. If you feel sexually attracted towards someone, you know this is a retreat. This is not the appropriate time to be flirting, engaging with others in that way. We take the standard of brahmacharya, celibacy, living in relationship with each other as sisters and brothers. If you feel a urge to speak, rather than just lying during the retreat time, we make the standard even more specific, to not engage in speech. Or intoxicants, if you feel eager for a drink. This is the wonderful opportunity to notice this is just the feeling of wanting a drink. This is the feeling of a sexual attraction towards someone. It's just a feeling. I don't have to follow it. It's not appropriate to give this energy, to act upon this right now. You might be attracted to somebody's scarf or their hat or their shoes. Well, when the retreat's over, you can ask them where they got that scarf from, if the desire is still there. This is a wonderful opportunity to explore how wisdom and conduct, vicha and charana, relate to each other. To see how the more clear, complete the wisdom is when there's a real holistic mindfulness, how there's a natural inclination. Your heart naturally chooses what is noble, what is compassionate, what is honest, what is appropriate. It's not a limitation. It's more of a celebration. Our wholesome conduct, our beautiful way of behaving and relating, is a celebration of Dhamma, of that fundamental reality. Explore it. Feel it through. See if it is something you can see in that way. If you just feel resistance and negativity, say, to the standard of not speaking during a retreat, it's a wonderful opportunity to look at that within our heart that struggles, resists, complains. But I want to speak. I've got something to say. I want to. This is a perfect opportunity to feel that, to know that, to not be imprisoned by that. In the Upposatha Sutta, the Buddha speaks directly about this, how he formulated the precepts. He's considering how to structure a training that would be of benefit to the lay community. He considered, all their lives from the time of their enlightenment, an arahant never deliberately takes the life of another living being. Wouldn't it be a good thing, wouldn't it be useful for the lay community on the observance days to keep the same standard? That way they will be living as the arahants do, and that will be for their long-lasting welfare and happiness. So too, all their lives from the time of their enlightenment, the arahants never take what is not given to them. They never steal. Wouldn't that be a good thing for the lay community to do? So in that way, they'll be living as the arahants do, and that will be for their long-lasting benefit and happiness. So too is celibacy, with speech. So too with intoxicants. Oh, all these precepts the Buddha is pointing to, this is the natural inclination of the arahant. All their lives from the time of enlightenment, arahants never act upon sexual desire. They never engage in sexual activity. Wouldn't it be good, a useful thing for the lay community, for the holy days, the observance day, to act in the same way? That way they will be acting as the arahants do, and that will be for their long-lasting welfare and happiness. So the Buddha is pointing right to the fact that if the mind is totally awakened, enlightened, if you were an arahant, there would be no inclination, no possibility, deliberately taking the life of another being, stealing, engaging with others sexually, lying, using intoxicants, and so on. So by adopting that conduct, here he's thinking of it in terms of the moon days, one day a week. It's a kind of training to live as the arahants live, to live as if you were an enlightened being. And then through adopting that way of behavior, then you get a feeling of how peaceful, delightful, noble. How pleasant that feels. Therefore, increasing the heart's inclination to act in that way and to awaken to that reality where those actions emanate from. To attune to the root of that conduct in attunement with Dhamma, with reality. So rather than precepts, conduct, being seen as some kind of set of rules imposed from outside, what's pointed to is this is more the natural inclination of the awakened mind, the free heart. This is something to explore, to investigate, see if it's true for yourself.